Welcome to the Passion Over Profits podcast with Top Son Goku, bringing you your weekly dose of Dragon Ball Super Collector's content. Stay tuned for exclusive interviews with some of the most knowledgeable DBS collectors in the community.
What's up, guys? My name is Top Son Goku. In today's episode, I have quite the VIP on the show. I have Evan Glover, aka Evan U7. He's a famous player utilizing the U7 Frieza deck with the Awakened Power Son Goku, sometimes being undefeated for a month. And he still plays this deck to this day, which is kind of amazing. And Evan and I just had so much fun talking, you know, cardboard, Dragon Ball Super. It was so much fun, man. Looking back, I think that collectors and players are basically two sides of the same coin. Like, we're two groups within the same community, being passionate about the same exact card game, and it's just such a shame that we don't get to, you know, communicate with each other more. And with this podcast, I hope to, you know, close a gap between our two groups and to, you know, get to know each other, get to understand each other, because I think that our hobby is about the connections that we make, about the friendships that we make. So I'm just going to cut it here, let Evan speak, and hope you enjoy, guys. Talk to you soon.
No. I still have decks. I just don't collect like I used to, like in early sets. Yeah. Like what you were doing, buying a lot, about to like collect. But you know, that's your hobby, and that's your channel too. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was doing that, but it was just the timing for me. It was like, I've been busy with more with the craft auditions.
Of course, man. Know. Of course, priorities.
Yeah. But I still have my decks that I play, you know, and I just. I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, I moved a lot of stuff and I don't regret it. I don't.
Of course not, man. You got to do what you got to do. Of course.
Yeah, I had it for a while. It was cool. I enjoyed it. Great. All right. Time to, you know, just make my hobbies a little bit more smaller, make my career a little bit more bigger.
Oh yeah, and I mean, it's still a hobby. Plus, it's not. Yes. It shouldn't be burdening you financially, right? I mean, if keeping up with every release drains your savings, I mean, that's ridiculous, right?
that was a problem. But you know, you don't think about it when you're hype. So I mm-hmm. feel like I'm friends with Bandai. So you know, I always try to get like one product from them, but. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was telling Joku about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm a collector. I do acting full time. So for me, you know, you have to spend your money wisely. Like when a game first came out from set one to like set 12 or set 13, I did all the collecting and the buying, the pulling out and the binder flexing. I did all that. I had my turn with it.
Yeah.
So somebody else's turn, you know? So.
Yeah. Last 4 or 5 sets, I haven't really been collecting as much as the older sets either. I actually started collecting in when Universal Onslaught dropped. So I'm a new collector, right? I'm new. I've not been there since 2017. But so I've always been collecting, you know, set 1 to 9, and then a little bit of Unison Warrior, a little bit of Vermilion Bloodlines. But after that, man, mm-hmm. my interest kind of dropped, because to me personally, the quality of the cards wasn't there compared to BT 1 to 9. I don't know if you've experienced this. Yeah. So from a collector's perspective, I haven't been really drawn to the newer sets, which kind of, you know, it's, I hate to admit this, but I really needed a break because I have been, you know, down the rabbit hole of the collector buying everything and really draining my savings to get ahead. I've done that.
It happens. It humbles you too.
Absolutely.
Humbles you. Wow.
Oh yeah.
It puts you in place. I was the same guy. Would be like, all right, my son. All right, my child. I need you to get yourself together. And
oh yeah.
And it's okay. I learned it too. I did a little Digimon collecting for a while. I sold my War Greymon deck not too long ago. I was like, I have to really decide what I'm gonna be dedicated to. Who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to flex in front of? You know, that's really what it comes down to. Is who is watching me do all this? Does it matter? You know, I have a light bill to pay, I have a phone bill to pay, I have gas put in my car. Is having my hobbies gonna help? Now it helps when you sell your stuff.
Man, I didn't expect to talk about this, to be honest, but it's man, that financial the financial aspect of the hobby is huge for everyone, because you gotta, you know, you gotta pay up to build your deck and to play the game. It's as simple as that. And how has the experience been for you over the last year, seeing the hype in DBS, the prices soaring?
Oh, man.
How has this been for you guys, for the players?
You know what's so crazy? We all get hype, and I think everybody can get hype, because otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be trying to follow up on the update of the cards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you get hype, but you have to be able to sit back and see what the cards really do from a player perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at these cards and go, oh, that card is pretty. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Activating that one energy. But then when you start to play test, that's when you decide if the card, from a player perspective, is worth playing in the deck.
Yeah, I understand that.
You gotta be, and don't get me wrong, there are some cards who I think personally, some players, players in the community will look at it and go, oh, this card's, it's okay, it's all right. But then when the pilot of the deck uses that card, everybody hops on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been kind of like a thing with Dragon Ball. But other than that, I mean, I'm glad that people are starting to grow onto the game. And because of this new balance that hit recently, we mm-hmm. have more options. We have more of a it's a bigger relationship with people who don't play Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming into the community now, and they're starting to learn how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you have players now who are using cards that veteran players never even put their hands on. And they're using these cards with combos and stuff. And I actually love seeing that. I'm like, oh, man, this is what I'm talking about. This is gold. This is dope.
Yeah, man, there's new blood in the game, man. They innovate, I guess.
they innovate. But I will say this, it's amazing to see older cards. Because obviously I talk to Bandai all the time. Mm-hmm. Kyle Senpai, he's the one that happens to do like the SCR showdown and stuff. But I was telling him, I'm like, it's amazing how players will say, oh, this card is whack, this card is this. But then come back and go, oh, this card is really, 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 really good. You know, and I think that's the thing that I'm starting to understand, that it's really just a hype. It's a hype, but the competitive side starts to come out after the hype dies down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. Man, I've been meaning to ask you. So, what does your name stand for?
Evan U7.
Yeah, what does that stand for, Evan U7?
So there's a cool little story behind that. I've never been asked. You're the first person to ask me that name. So I used to play back in the day. I used to play a deck called U7 Frieza, which is basically, I love Universe 7 Arc. I mean, I love TOP. TOP to this day is still, it just, it really hit me in a way that I was like, oh man, this is a deck I want to play. So,
right.
But basically, what happened was I was playing U7 Frieza, the deck itself, and mm-hmm. the leader was really cool at that era. You pitch one U7, you draw two cards. I mean, oh my gosh, nostalgia, bro. But but you would pitch one card and draw two. So after the sets, after you know the TOP set ended, the 3.0, or they call it 3.5, I think that's what they call it, as a set.
Yeah.
Other sets started to come out. So over the year, I would just stick playing U7 Frieza with Victory Strike throughout every single set. And one day, I went to DBS Decks, the site, and I was looking to see like some updated deck list. And I scrolled down, and there was a guy who made a U7 Frieza deck similar to mine, and he called it Evan U7. Yeah, he called it Evan U7. So when I made the announcement, when I got the announcement from Bandai that me and Joku was going to be doing the SCR showdown and doing the SCR reveals and stuff,
yeah,
I was saying that I didn't create Evan U7. The community did.
That's insane. Wow.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
so you didn't come up with the name. The community came up with the name. That's amazing,
yeah.
man.
And I made a post on the page. I was like, I was on DBS decks, and I saw this player make a used to have a Frieza deck based off of mine, and it's called MU7. I said, thank you for ever saying that. And I can't even remember this guy's name, but he did comment on that picture, and he said, I was the one that named your deck MU7. I had to pay tribute to the GOAT. I was like, oh, man. But literally, I made a post saying, thank you for ever made that post. Of calling my deck MU7, and thank you for that name. And the guy who commented it, he did comment on that picture. He said, I was the one who did it. I wanted to pay tribute to the GOAT. And I was like, oh, man, that's...
amazing, that's man. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So then I just stuck with it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to use that. I like that.
Of course. Of course.
And it just became a thing. And it was something that... Like you would have told me 4 years ago when that little 20-year-old, what, I was 20, I'm 27 now. So I was that 22, 23-year-old me running around the locals looking for starter decks and looking at what had happened to me throughout the community. I would never known. I would never known. I would never had even considered
that it was possible. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think about it.
Man, do you have a rough idea? Because obviously you build that reputation by you know playing events, or was it online that you had an online presence, or is it purely based on you winning events?
I wouldn't say it's winning events. I actually did. I mean, I topped a few locals.
Yeah.
I topped a few locals and stuff, but to answer your honest question, I know people will be listening to this. It was just the online presence. I love Dragon Ball so much. And
yeah,
I just started posting. I mean, I post a lot, but I just started posting just stuff Dragon Ball related. You know, I love Victory Strike. I'll be having conversations with Banda. I'm like, yo, I love Awakened Power. They go, oh, we know you do. Tell me that. Yeah, I did the reveals for Giant Force. And I was like, I love Victory Strike. Like, oh no, we watching, we know. But it was just the online presence. I always try to be. I just try to be positive. So I mean, what I did was I would be posting a lot of U7 Frieza stuff, that's all I was posting at first. You know, like just here's my deck list for Awakened Power. Hashtag Goku's my best friend. And I call from the every 7th one. It's a lifestyle. and that lifestyle hashtag was inspired from a old Xbox troll from back in the day. He used to be like, he was very inappropriate and trollish, but he would say it's a lifestyle. And I'm like, I used to say that growing up as a kid was, oh man, this is a lifestyle right here. This is a
hell
yeah. Right, and I started using that as a concept, but it was an online presence. But then I started posting more positive stuff. And at one point, the community was going through some drama, just some negativity going on, and I had a picture of Awakened Power next to the figurine, Ultra Instinct Goku figurine. Like, I'm Victory Striking all the negativity out of the community, you know. But I just started posting positive stuff, and that grew within the community. So it's like, he plays Awakened Power, MU7 plays Victory Strike, he's going for that, he's a very positive person. And this wasn't no clout thing. Like, this is all was me just posting.
Of course.
It started to just build up over time. And it led me to doing the Giant Force reveals. I did podcasts for the London Players Guild, Scott Sedman. It got me known in the world of competitive play. And then competitive play. And then I ended up, of course, topping my first event here in Houston, the top 16 PPG with Invoker. So that was really cool. But that online presence, miraculously, it was definitely God's favor, played a part in the community. It was that's really what happened. I didn't know, you know. Now I'm like, where I'm at in the community now, it's like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is really cool.
That's rewarding, right? I mean, it adds a new dimension to the game, right? Because it's one thing to just play all alone in your room, like building decks or whatever, and then playing at events, but also seeing that basically the community is growing and that you basically built all types of connections. You get, I mean,
yeah.
I have very close friends that are just DBS collectors, just because you have that one thing in common that you're so passionate about I mean, you're instantly friends. So I honestly felt like, man, this new dimension for me, it's a rather new dimension to my hobby. It's probably the best aspect of the entire hobby to me personally, is the connections that you build. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and I would say that just that having that presence online in a positive way, definitely, I would agree with you on that. I definitely played a part, and that started to it grew more and more, and it's very humbling. I mean, it's one of the most humbling things that I never expected. So, but it's so funny though. It's humbling, but it's like overwhelming, because every times where if I do like me and Joku did a reveal, players are so kind. They're going, "Hey, Mr. Evans, it's an honor to meet you." Or say like, "Oh, like I remember I did a Discord thing one time, and I said something on Discord about a card, and a guy was like, "Holy crap, it's the GOAT." You know, or people were like, "Oh, you know, I want to bug you," or you know, "Mr. You said Mr. Universe 7, I'm geeking out, by the way, but I just don't know." Like, "Oh, thank you, man. Like, it's fine, you know, like, I don't want to waste your time, but you might send me the deck list." It's like, "Oh, man, it's cool, man. Ain't no big end that serious, you know." But I learned that this community is such a getaway, and it's a this card game. This is a getaway. So it definitely grew people together, and then I gotta tell you, the community made Avenue 7. So, you know, that gives me a job that I never expect to have to do stuff with the community, you know.
Yeah, man. Now you have responsibility to keep on growing, man.
I was at I went to a card shop here in Houston, and my buddy, shout out to Team Rays and Guys to Gaming, my buddy who sponsored us, he literally was like, "Listen, you know, people are agreeing that you're the face of Houston DDS community." So, you know, when you're getting told those type of things, you take it in as, you know, as a cool thing to hear. But you gotta be humble, and you have to continue to still be positive, still be.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, don't let your ego get to you. You know, a lot of people want to chase clout and all this stuff, but it's like, just whatever blessings the Lord gives you, just use it. I mean, just use it, and you know, enjoy the game. You know, people love this game, and I want to make sure people are having a good time in the community.
That's kind of the point, right?
to have fun. Yeah.
If you're not having fun in this hobby, man, what are you doing? All these people, you know, being all caught up in drama and stuff when stuff happened. And I'm like, guys, what the hell? This doesn't matter. Just have fun.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Evan, where are you most active on social media?
I would say I'm turning my Instagram more to like a business thing when acting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I'm slowly shifting, because I'll be 28 this year. I know I don't look it, but I'm getting old. So I'll be 28 this year. So
I'm also 28, bro. I'm also 28.
hey, but guess what? You sound very young. Like, you know, you
93, bro. 1993.
Hey, 93, man. Shoot, we still here. But Instagram and Facebook. Of course, Facebook's like a private, private account, basically.
Yeah.
But Instagram is mostly where I'm active at.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to be making a lot of shift and change with what I'm doing now as a creative team member for Lotus Gaming. You know, getting more into Dragon Ball. Like, I played Digimon for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it. Like, I've never done any online webcam. This is the funny thing. Every time there's like a webcam event or a type of like last year was a Tournament of Power event, I always had a film project to do, which is really weird. I always found that really, really funny. But no, I mean, I just mostly stuff hosted in Texas. Really, it's really just that.
Yeah.
I plan on doing a little bit more traveling to like different states with Team Ray, or like if we go out of like we fly out or we go to a different state. Now that I joined a new team, And I know I'm doing some stuff with Loaded Gaming with like commentating and stuff. So I'm trying to really just figure out what we can do and how we can adjust. But I hope that answers your question.
Sure, man.
Okay. I was like trying to figure out. Okay, you had such good stable questions. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. So let me at least try to sound smart.
Oh no, man! Don't worry, man. This is just a conversation, man. You don't have to worry about how the podcast is gonna be laid out or whatever. Just I'm just trying to, you know, kind of understand what your journey has been as a player, trying to, you know, get to know each other a little bit, and that's basically it.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I first got into this game, my buddy Brett, his name is Brett McKay. He plays Dragon Ball 2, and he taught me how to really play. I posted on the Facebook page, the DBS community page, a while back, but he was basically the Master Roshi of my life when it came to the game. Like, he taught me how to play, and you know, he really was the Master Roshi of my life. Like, his buddy Jose gave me tips and taught me game knowledge of the game, and then but you know, in the beginning, nobody wanted me to be part of their team. I was just the kid who thinks Goku is this awesome superhero, and everyone was just like, oh, we don't want Evan on our team. People didn't really like, not everybody, but I wasn't bullying the community, but a lot of people found me annoying in a sense, because I'm all like, I love Dragon Ball! And that's what people saw me as. So then,
the obnoxiously happy and loud kid playing the game.
that was me. So
just let those nerds play on their own, please, in silence.
I was kind of like the Naruto in the card game community. I didn't have it that rough like Naruto had, but I had, there was certain ways where, like, you know, people put up with me, and then I ended up. I just love that card. So then what I did was I ended up and I challenged him to a stream in 2019. He got first place championship in England, right? So he was kind of like the Kaiba. He was my rival. So I fought him on stream. We battled on stream and I beat him two out of three. That wasn't no third round. I 2-0'd him. Like, literally, the first and second round, I victory strike him. It awakened power. But he's a great shot to our role. He's a great player. He's my rival. He really is my rival. Beating him was really set the bar for me, and I was considered king of the hill. So basically, I awakened power all my five of my opponents for a month. I was undefeated for a month. My old teammate, I used to be part of the team I was with. He beat me. My buddy beat me. Then, you know, the Universe Onslaught stuff comes out, and I just stuck with Awakened Power. The only time I used Apex of Power was when I was at PPG, because my team needed me to top. But I've been using Awakened Power for 3 years. I didn't touch the card for like 2 months because of the ban list that happened in 2019.
Yeah.
I challenged Raul to that Battle of the Gods match, and then I went to my box, I pulled Awakened Power out, and I looked at it, and I was like, it's been a while, right? And then when I actually ended up playing Awakened Power, in my mind, I could just see Ultra Instinct Goku, like, not like turn his head sideways with his eyes looking at me.
Right.
And I'm over here nodding my head, and he looks at Raul, he just goes, ah! Like, just blasting him. Yeah. I'm like, role play really well. Like
Japanese voice, right?
That's all I heard, because I did not. Yeah, it was like that's all I heard. But no, Raul he's really a strong player, and he's a judge too. He's the reason why I continue to play Awakened Power. Like, he is, like, in a way, he motivated me. People don't know that he's one of the reasons why I stuck with that same card. You know, and I've been playing Awakened Power for literally almost 3 years.
Is it still playable right now? Is it still competitive?
That's a great question. That's a really great question. In my opinion, it is. I mean, if you get him on the field successfully, like this successfully, he's a tank. But I have to know my matchup. It's all about the matchup.
Oh, yeah. I
don't know when I pilot the deck, but I have to know the matchup. That's the only way for me to determine if I can play that card. Now, there's other directions I can go when I play that card. But in this meta, it's a lot of counters, a lot of stuff that can slow it down. So I have to be very cautious on my plays in order to bring in my success for me.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess it was too powerful. They had to add restrictions to this card, I guess, because I mean, if you're undefeated for a month straight, there's maybe something wrong, right? Maybe the card is broken.
At my locals, I was undefeated because there's a little hype thing we did. But I, like I said, there's cards like Objection. There were cards that was just Awakening Power was available. So when they made Apex from Universal Onslaught, it was to basically reinvent the Victory Strike card, but in a way for other players to try to get their hands on. So, right. Awakening Power still holds the most expensive card. I love my card a lot. Like I enjoyed that card. But yeah. I mean, there used to be a card called Objection, like I told you. So Objection was just the card that you ramp up a turn early, and then you throw out Victory Strike on turn four, other than turn five. So now with the new ban list, now I'm able to actually play Awakening Power on turn four, turn five. The only problem is that I just have to be cautious on my plays because there are some cards out there that would just get rid of Awakening Power, like on the spot.
Right. I've always heard, I mean, ever since I entered the DBS space, everybody has always told me, like, no, this card is not playable anymore. That's insane. And there you are.
It's a full commitment of understanding what you want to do and play. I mean, I could, but it would have took up more card advantage. So I don't even run it no more.
It wasn't as efficient.
It wasn't as efficient. I never put it in the deck.
I understand, yeah. Bro, I don't understand. Are you sponsored by Bandai?
No, you know, people. No. That's a beautiful story behind that. But no, I'm not sponsored. not sponsored. You don't get paid. You know, I don't know about the other one, but I know I don't get paid. My thing was that I got a message from Kyle. Well, you know, he was also in the, if you saw the DBS CCG Direct trailer. Not the 7-minute one. That was a trailer for 38 seconds.
Yes.
You see, like, there's two producers are Japanese, and that's the one American there. Well, that's Kyle. He messaged me one day, and he said, "Hey, Evan, my name is Kyle from Bandai. Thank you for being such a positive force in the community." And he goes, "I was wondering, would you like to reveal cards to the community?" And then the Giant Force. So he sent me the cards. Now, I'm not a YouTuber, right? I'm not a content creator. I'm not a YouTuber. And I was like, yeah, sure. So then I share every color cards Monday through Thursday and on Facebook. And the feedback was just beautiful. And then that allowed me to grow a relationship with them and then with Bandai. And then I talked to Kyle on the phone. And like I said, a few months ago, we meet. And Joku, all of us wake up to this group message. It was me, Espera, it was the Eggman, Crossroad TCG, you know, Joku, me. Like, we woke up to this message going, "Hey, guys, we're doing this SCR showdown." And I was like, bro, they brought me back again?
That's so cool, man. That's so cool.
You don't know. But no, I'm not sponsored by Bandai. But that's the story on the relationship with them is that we were able to just work with them with opportunities for the community. Like, it's one of those one-a-lifetime opportunities that you really don't know when the next big thing is going to happen.
Absolutely. Man, that's something I love about our community or about our hobby as a whole is that Bandai really listens to the community. They do polls, they ask questions, they reach out to the community to help them out to, you know, promote the hobby. I think that's just amazing, man. That's just amazing. Yeah. I come from a Pokemon collector's background. I mean, I've done that for like 18, 20 months. And I just don't see that happen, man, with that relationship that you can have with the company. Because, I mean, Bandai is huge. Yeah. If they want to, they probably don't need you, man. They could just do huge ads and you know, get popular that way. But they just don't do that. Instead, they choose the community, and that just strengthens the bonds with the community. I think that's just amazing. think they're killing it.
I'll tell you this though, my buddy Ryan, he's on my team. He played, he's a Magic player. He played Yu-Gi-Oh for a while. I also played Pokemon for a while and played Yu-Gi-Oh. But he told me this on the podcast that he did here in Houston. He said Evan is the first non-YouTuber to promote card. I'm the first fan in card game history to do reveals for a card company. You know, like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon never done that with any fan. They only do it with the people with clout or successful content YouTubers. But I was the first fan in card game history to reveal cards to the community. And that never happened to me before. And I never had an experience. Because my biggest prayer was to have an experience.
Right.
Like dope experience in Dragon Ball, because I love Dragon Ball. So that was also pretty cool to find that out. But I never thought, like, the experience I had in DBS is really, like, it's so, these experiences are insane. It's insane to this day. To this day, the people I look up to, the people I met, met through the community, the relationship with Bandai, it was like, this is insane.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it comes back to what you said. I mean, it's like a lifetime. It's become a lifestyle for you, right?
Yeah, and
it's just a big part of your life, right?
It is. I play Digimon and stuff. I don't play as much, but I just love Dragon Ball. Like, it just became more of my thing. Like, I love Digimon for nostalgia, but people play Digimon, and I was playing. I was watching the Digimon tournament yesterday, and and they're, you know, they were like, "Oh man, I kept bricking my hand," and you know, when you play that game, I'm not attacking. It's a great nostalgic game, right? But I just, like, it's just the same energy and feeling I get from Dragon Ball, I don't get that from Digimon, you know? So it was kind of like that. But Bandai make Digimon cards as well, and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Goku, though. So.
Yeah, there's no Goku in Digimon, right?
There's no Goku in Digimon, but no, I love Goku, and you know, I'm glad that the community is able to communicate and to engage. The Dragon Ball community is very, but no. I was telling Goku this when we did the SCR reveal, was that this community is like an anime. It's, you have the known people, you have the known influencers in the community, you have people who are known. You know what I mean? Like you have those people. But everybody in this community is trying to tell a story. That's how I look at this community. You always will have the known people, right? But outside of the people that are known, outside of that are so many different people from different paths of life playing Dragon Ball. And I love that. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
you know, like when me and Goku rewatched the video, the reveal, like the premiere reveal of the SCL. I was like, man, there's so many people from all over the world is going to be watching this. And in my mind, I wasn't, and to be honest with you, in my mind, I wasn't thinking about, oh yeah, we're going to get these likes and views. In my mind, and even Joker would tell you this too, because Joker's like my brother, we was more curious on the journey that everybody else was going on. We get the cross spirit. Pulling the Goku and Frieza SCR. I wanted to see for myself, like, man, I wonder how many people are gonna pull this card after they see it. I wonder how many boxes are gonna get bought out. You know, I wonder how many orders from around the world. I know London is huge, Germany is hype, and people, I mean, from all over the world, people are excited. So I'm over here thinking, like, okay, we got a world premiere for this event. Now the question is, what is everybody else going through? You know, what's going in their story, you know?
Right.
It's like Pokemon. We have Ash and Pikachu. Like, you watch their show, but then there's like these side alternated, like, universe stories, like in Pokemon Origins, and, you know, like the Pokemon Twilight. There's just these stories being told. And I think that's how Dragon Ball is. So, sorry, I was rambling.
What's the story that you want to tell?
Oh, I just think that... But no, I just want to make sure, like, looking back, I just want to have fun. You know, you just want to have fun. I mean, my story is just to just go from having a starter deck and just, you know, having fun, meeting people from all over the world,
That's a beautiful message, man. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, we need each other. You know, and the community needs each other, you know. And I think people now are starting to calm down, and, you know, and starting to
adapt
and starting to just really, like, let all that extraness, the word I made up, all this extraness get thrown out the picture. Just have fun. I think if you have fun with the game, you would do well.
Of course, man. I mean, if you don't have fun, then what are you doing? Why are you here? If you take this this hobby too seriously, you're just creating a second job for yourself.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I had one more question for you. What are you most looking forward to, like, this year or next year in the hobby in general?
I'm looking forward to the meta being a turn 4, turn 5 game, like, moving forward. Because this ban list really did set the bar. Like, this ban list, it was an emergency ban list. This changed a lot. And the fact that they said they want to be hitting more cards, it's like, that's like next month. I think it's November. So I'm just looking forward to that. And I'm looking the community growing. I'm looking forward to the new stuff. I know you're going to be excited. I know you're going to love this with the new stuff coming out, the Godwares. They call it the Godware pack.
In February. Yeah, man, that's going to be insane. That's going to be insane.
What that's about. It comes out in January, right? Or November?
I think it comes out in February.
Dude, that's not far from that. Like,
oh, no, that's around the corner, man.
I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to... I'm hype about that.
Want to speculate which character is going to be?
You know what? So, if you go, man, you got me all hype, bro. Like, I got to see. I'm drinking my energy tea. I'm, like, walking around. I'm like, hey, you got me hype. So, if you go back, and if you watch the DBS ECG trailer of Bandai, one of the producers, he revealed one of his cards that everybody's going to get, but I think that could be like an Easter egg for the future sets, or it could be like a current card for this upcoming stuff, the upcoming set that's coming out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like all of the Gods of Destruction on one card with Zamasu. I mean, not with Zamasu, with the Grand Priest, having the Grand Priest on there. It could be the Grand Priest on a whole different way.
Damn, that would be cool, actually.
Well, if it's a Godware, I'm looking at, like, okay, if it's a Godware card, that means it has to be really good. Like, I don't think it'll be a victory strike in a sense, but you never know. Bandai is like this. Bandai is like Dragon Ball Heroes. They just never know what's going to throw at you. You never know, but you get hype about it.
Absolutely.
I think it's three characters, though. I think it could be all the God of Destructions. And it's like, it's a dual attack, quadruple strike. You know what I'm saying? Like, it attacks you twice and your attack can't be negated or something like that. Or it could be the Grand Priest. It could be Vegeta Ego. I mean, you never know. I mean, they could literally
change their direction. Oh, man, if they do that, oof, man, I'm going to lose it.
I honestly think it's the Grand Priest.
You think it's going to be playable? You think that God Rare is going to be playable?
That's what I'm assuming.
Damn, that's going to be insane. Assuming. Like, I mean, if you know. assuming it's going to be very hard to pull. Like, let's be conservative. Like, 1 in 3 cases, right? Like, twice as rare as SCRs are now, right? Let's say it's 1 in 3 cases. If it's playable, shit, man. Like, players and collectors are gonna fight each other to get this card. Oh fuck, it's gonna be like $2,000 straight out of the back, man. I'm not looking forward to that. Oh man. Yeah. That's gonna be an expensive card, man. If it's playable,
I would say this. If it's a Godware, then I think that Now, like I said, you have people who play and people who collect. I would definitely tell you this in all honesty. Like, all honesty. If it's playable, it's going to be seen a lot of play. If it's a collecting item, there's a good chance that players may probably sell the card to collectors when they get it. But if from a player perspective, if the card is good and it does the damage it needs to, you know, if it does the job on the field, it's going to be useful. And I think that players would just hold it because of the value of what the card does in actual gameplay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So that's what I'm looking at. And I think that's what in determining, that's what's really going to determine it, is that if they look at it and say, this card is beautiful because it's a god rare, right? So it's going to look.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but no, I'm serious. I really think that they may have to nerf it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They have to make sure it's good for the decks that's being played, but also make sure it's like leader locked. Because if it's a free play god rare, then that's going to be a problem. You know,
right.
But, you know, so we got to see. But I think that it'd be Grand Priest. It could be a Jiren Victory Strike or a Jiren at full power. I know a lot of fans have been talking about wanting a Jiren. It could just be like all the god, it could be the Zenos and the Grand Priest on the card because they're considered like godlike character traits in the show. But right. I think that'd be my biggest. That'd be like my biggest bet.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard someone thinking that it's gonna be Angel Goku, like. Super Dragon Ball Heroes, you see Goku being, you know, having the same outfit as the as Whis and the priest.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And you have a card in Super Dragon Ball Heroes where it's also a secret rare, I think, where you have Angel Goku.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's going to be that. I honestly don't think so. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see. I have no idea what's coming up, but I know that it's going to be very exciting times.
But it's good to see that. But it's good to see that you're like for you, you're a collector, and so you're going into. That's why I love this game so much because you have people collect Pokemon and they sit there and collect Pokemon. Yeah, people who play Pokemon and they play, so they have a mixture. But the communication is so different from playing the card game. Mm-hmm. In collecting, in my opinion, where in Dragon Ball, you're able to say, oh, I want that card because, man, that card looks good. And I figure, well, I'll take that back. I'm pretty sure it's the same relationship with Pokemon. But in Dragon Ball, it's a little bit more different. It's a little bit more efficient because you're going into it like, oh, I want that card. And then I'm telling you, I want that card as well. And I can just like, play this card. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
So right, right.
I'm playing the card because it's beautiful. I'm playing it because it's good. I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. Like, I have the Goku and Frieza SCR. So
right.
If I'm playing it, I own it card. So if I'm playing it, I'm going, oh, this card is beautiful. And, man, I love when his ability kicks off. When you get the card, you're like, oh, man, this card is beautiful. I bet you get a lot of gameplay in, you know. You know? It's not like being good. But then we come together and go, you know what? We both agree on that. All right, cool. I'll deal with it. I'll let it slide.
Oh man, honestly, I've been looking forward to this podcast because I've had some people from the community, from the collectors community, but also from the players community. Some guys like Melvin who say like, man, we need to close the gap between our two groups within the community because you have like the collectors, right. You have the players, but there's very little communications between both, or at least that's been my experience.
Right.
But in the end, we're all just, you know, very passionate about the same thing, like about the exact same cards. I don't know. The game has been out for 4 years. I think it's about time that we are able to close the gaps. Like we're able to have like a conversation, just you and me talking about the cards. I think that's yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just very, very happy that you're on the show. I'm just I'm having a blast, man.
Oh, thank you, man. But you know what it is? I think that I have to look at it like this. I told Joku this too. You know Joku.
Right.
Yeah. Because sometimes I told my other friend, he was like, who's Joku? I'm like,
No. I know him, yeah.
But
I've never talked to him before, but I know his YouTube channel.
Right. But he's you know, we sometimes would talk. And we would say, like, bro, there's a lot of people who want to have these experiences. So we have to really just look at it at all perspectives because looking at it from a perspective of just, oh, I can look or you play, it kind of shuts the energy down. But if I'm going to a store to buy the box to play, and you're going to a store to buy a box to collect, that's still going to be a similar connection. That's still going to be chemistry there.
Mm-hmm. Because, absolutely.
Because we're both going into this thing with the logic of, okay, we need to play. We need to collect. I want to see what you pull. I want to see what that guy pulls. And if you do that together, that grows the relationship with the players. So, like, I was watching, what's her name, a YouTuber? Linda Kim mm-hmm. on YouTube. She does that, hi, welcome to my channel, whatever. And she's like, have all these PSA graded cards and stuff. And she had experience on learning how to play the game. So now people are teaching her how to play. And I think that's what it is. It's such a nice crossover from collectors. And, you know, you have those couples. There's a couple that open up cards on their
yeah. Dangy. Yeah, Dangy. Yeah.
Dangy. Yeah, Dangy. Yeah, well, you know, that they're a couple. And they're like, we enter our first pre-release. We lost drastically. But we're going to do these openings when we get home. And you still, but as a player, I'm like, oh, man, I want to see what that pool.
Yeah,
you know, it's a weird algorithm. You know, with same with you. You have players. A lot of players watch your channels. I've been watching your channel for a while. So I'm sitting here watching you hold Awakened Power PSA graded. I'm like, does he understand what he's saying? Like, when I see you have a Hyper Rush, you got a Hyper Rush Super Saiyan Blue Vegito.
Oh yeah, man. Head,
like, is he aware in front of him, like. He has three awakened powers. And you're like, hey, guys, I have three awakened powers. This is from a player perspective, I'm like, he has three awakened powers? What?
Oh, man. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, man. Well, yeah. Honestly, I didn't know that that you were watching my channel, but it's pretty cool to know.
Oh yeah, I watched them. I was like, man, this guy. But you, I could see the work ethic and the flow of your channel, because your channel is, man, you really collect these cards. Yeah, but it's the way you treat the cards and it's the way you value the cards. I think is what gets me interested in your channel. You know, I'm like, I'm looking at a $5 card, but you cherish that $5 card like this is. You know,
oh yeah, man.
And I'm like, I see how he does that. I'm looking at these cards like, oh, they're all right. But you treat them with such respect. And I'm like, man, I feel this. Like, I understand this. Like, I understand what this guy is doing with these cards. He's valuing them as a collector. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, man, I never purchase a card that I don't like. So every single card that I hold is something that I carefully picked out of hundreds of cards, just purely based on artwork, and of course, yeah, if I buy it, yeah, of course I'm gonna treasure it, right? Because otherwise I wouldn't have purchased it. It's just as simple as that. I just buy what I like, and that's it. And if I like it, of course I'm gonna handle it carefully. I mean, I don't know, maybe if you play and you're excited and that's a different story, but from a collector's perspective, there's nothing else for me to do than to look at the card, so I might as well do it carefully to not, you know, destroy the card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the joy of it, is like, it brings, like I say, I love watching Sensu's Pop channel, because I'm able to, you know, he does competitive play, but he does collect. I'm able to see his perspective of the game and see how he works. It is really cool to see that energy be presented, because the game is growing and people are starting to go into the game with expectations, mm-hmm. but those expectations are usually positive.
Right, right, absolutely.
And I think the community is starting to come together a little bit more, but not like in an obligated way. Like, oh, I have to play because I play DDS.
Well, yeah, there's some mutual interest, right?
Yeah, that's a good way.
There's some mutual interest. I'm interested as to what your experience is, and you're also interested as to what my experience is with these cards. Evan, is there something that you want to say to the podcast before we wrap it up? Honestly, I had a blast, man. Honestly, if you want to come back on the show, just let me know, and we'll schedule it in, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, man. Like I said, thank you. Like I said, you know, I have to let your listeners know I was the one that want to be like, I was like, yo, like I don't, some people will ask you, hey, did you ask NBA? No. I asked Top Son Goku to be on this channel because I am a fan of his YouTube channel. Love how he does the breakdowns of SERs. I was like, bro, let me be on your podcast. Like, I like your stuff. Please, you know, and I'm glad that we finally found time. But I'm very thankful that you made time for this. Shout out to Gas Gaming, Team Raze. Shout out to Lotus Gaming too for allowing me to be part of their creative world of story. And also thank you, Top Son Goku. I like the fact that we, you know, from across the world, like from around the world, all the way other side of the world, we're able to talk about Dragon Ball, and I think that's cool. And then shout out to Bandai, my brother Joku. Yeah, man, let's do this again. I think that's it. And keep collecting shining cardboard because it is a lifestyle. So there you go.
Absolutely, man. It's a lifestyle. We're going to end it here. Evan, thank you so much for your time as well. It's been a blast.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very happy to have you on the show again and again if you want to.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Passion Over Profits podcast. Please subscribe and stay tuned for more DBS Collectors content. Interested in which guest we're having next week? Find out in the next episode of Dragon Ball's Passion Over Profits. Yes, Passion Over Profits.